You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison back again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And before we get to today's episodes, I want to once again refer people to my website, www.markpattisonnfl.com. And there is a red button once you land on there that will lead you to the epic NFL 360 film they did on my journey up and down Mount Everest. And the beautiful thing about that is that it is tied into a philanthropy in Millions Everest. We've talked about this many different times. We continue to fundraise with that campaign. Higher Ground is a wonderful organization all about empowerment. And don't we all need that? Also on that same website, that same link, you can find other podcasts with inspirational people like the rock star I'm going to talk to today. And I would appreciate a ratings and review. And finally, I am out there. I'm speaking a lot to different organizations out there about my Everest journey and what I learned. It's powerful. If you need a public speaker, just fill out the contact form, send it over. I respond to everybody and all my links. By the way, too, I have launched a YouTube channel. The YouTube link is on that website, markpattisonnfl.com. And go over there and please subscribe. So it's going to be, hundreds of really cool video of myself on the mountains, going through the Kumaj Fall, on Denali, on Aconcagua, on Kilimanjaro, all these other places. So it's really cool. And also, once we get to 1,000 subscribers, then we can start making money. And that money, then I can push towards Higher Ground. And that's what that's all about. So on that note, let me jump into today's great guest. I've known this dude for a long time. He's another fellow NFL player. He's done a lot in his life, very inspirational. He's recently come out with a book, Through the Tunnel, which we'll talk about in a minute. But first, let me introduce Paul McDonald. How are you doing?
Mark, you're a busy guy. How does anybody stay up with everything you've got going on and keep up with you?
I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you this, you're a little bit older than I am, and you and I met years ago, and I really believe I just turned 60. I celebrated that with 60 push-ups on top.
That's big.
Cotopaxi, I know. And my 50 was such a disaster. I wanted to make my 60th so much grander. And so I was down in Ecuador, climb a mountain on my birthday, Cotopaxi, and at 20,000 feet, dropped down and delivered 60 push-ups. So that was just to say, I still got
it. I saw that.
But even more so, just a way that, like, right now, it's like right now I'm pushing the pedal to the metal to the pedal, or pedal to metal, however that goes, in terms of really accelerating as we go into this next decade. And I know that you've been doing a lot of thought about that, but I want to kind of set up this whole thing because you're a remarkable guy. You always have been. You're from Southern California, and your kind of whole path and your identity for such a long time was at quarterback. You had a remarkable high school career at Bishop Amont. Then you went on to USC, and you were there. And I mean, there's been a couple periods of glory days at USC, but certainly you were there in a big chunk of that. John Robinson, he had a bunch of Heisman Trophy guys in the back. But where did the lights go on for you that like for me, you know, like I was pretty good at some different sports, but I just felt like I was born with a football in my hand. I was a receiver, played a little bit of quarterback, but you had always been like, you were that quarterback guy. I mean, where did that light come on for you? Like, this was your destiny. This is what you were made to do.
Watching, actually, my dad was a USC fan, and watching USC on TV. I mean, when I was like 7, 8 years old, I'm like, wow, that's really cool. You know, to play football. I didn't think about any of the other stuff. I just thought it'd be really cool to be able to play football on television. I mean, right? That was back in the day, way back in the day when you had, you know, one game on. you know, or two games on that day on Saturday. Now they've got 55 games on Saturday. So it's a different era. So to be on TV, that's what I wanted to do. I actually, when I was in, I played junior All-American football, but when I was, the coach said, okay, go to the position that you want to play. And I wanted to be a running back. And the reason I wanted to be a running back is because they ran the football at USC all the time, and I wanted to touch the ball. And my dad had done some pre-coaching to the head coach, planted the seed, and said, you know, I think my son's really should be playing quarterback. And so the head coach came over to the running back line and grabbed me and said, no, you go over to the quarterback line. And since then, I had been a quarterback 3 years in junior All-American, high school, and then, of course, college and the NFL. And that was it. I mean, I didn't play anything else. And so I think it was, call it destiny or the way it was supposed to be. And Mark, you know, I didn't have a lot of natural talent. Yeah, I was better than the average Joe that's out there running around. Yeah, I was pretty coordinated. I wasn't the fastest guy. I wasn't the biggest guy. I wasn't the strongest guy. I couldn't throw the ball the furthest. I had none of that. But I did have a good head on my shoulders. And I did have a work ethic. And so when my buddies in high school were going to the beach, I was throwing routes. I grabbed the receiver, my guy. I said, no, we're going to, and we'd run an out route. And we had to hit 10 for 10. And it had to be like where it was supposed to be, not just 10 catches. It had to be, the ball had to come out. It had to be right where it needed to be. Come out of the break, boom, the ball's there. And then when we did that, then we moved to the next route. So it was the work ethic, really primarily, and I had a good head on my shoulders. I mean, I was smart. The coaches like that stuff, right? They like the quarterback and know what to do and how to call the plays and get everybody lined up and then, you know, execute the play. So those two things are really what set me on my path.
It's been a great path for you. And again, I'm going to skim over a lot of this because I think so much more story is relevant to what you're doing today and kind of your path forward. And you and I have been talking quite a bit about that, but as we go back and again, I just want to quickly go through this because it is impressive, but back in the day, 1979, you know, you were on a team that it's a national championship team. And in 1980, it's number one. And in the backfield, you've got Marcus Allen and Charles White. I played with both those guys, amazing individual, but you know, but at the same time, you know, you for, I don't know if the records still stand, but you had the most touchdown to least amount of interception ratio maybe of all time at USC. I don't know if that still stands, but you know, I mean, you were on a national championship game, you went to Rose Bowls and you fulfilled your goal from when you were a youngster, which is to be on TV, which you were.
Yes. You know, I was very fortunate to play with a bunch of great guys. You mentioned a couple of them, Marcus Allen and Charles White. They both won Heisman's. Actually, that's a great trivia question. Who is the quarterback that played in the same backfield with two Heisman Trophy winners? There is a quarterback at Army back in the day in the 40s, played with Glenn Davis and Doc Blanchard. I don't even know the guy's name, but that was a guy. And then there's me. So modern day football. You know, you got to surround yourself with great players. And when I was being recruited by USC, Paul Hackett, who was the quarterback coach, passing game coordinator, later went on and was a coordinator throughout the NFL, all over the place. Had a couple stints at head coach. It didn't quite work out the way he wanted to, but Paul was a fantastic coach. Anyway, so he comes to my house, home visit, when he was recruiting me to go to USC. And he drew five circles on a piece of paper. And one had an X in it. And the one on the far left was a big circle. So obviously those are the center, the two guards on either side, and the two tackles opposite. And the big guy, the big circle on the left was Anthony Munoz. Yeah. That guy was pretty good.
That's your blind side.
Blind side. No, well, the front side.
Yeah, well, because
I'm a lefty. I'm a lefty, yeah.
That's
right?
True, yeah.
Anyway, we had the Lombardi Award winner, Brad Buddy, who was the right guard, strong guard. We had a guy named Keith Van Horden playing 12 years in the NFL. Chris Foote was, you know, not shabby, but he only played 4 or 5 years with the Minnesota Vikings. He was the center. And then we had a couple of different guards. One was Pat Howell, my junior year as a senior. He played for the Oilers. And then the other guy was Roy Foster, who played about 10 years with the Dolphins and the Vikings. That was my offensive line. You could put a lot of people behind that, and they could do pretty good. And so we had a great team, but you know, obviously I had to do my job and I did my job within the scheme of the offense. And the scheme of the offense was basically Robinson, before my first game, essentially said, I'll paraphrase, Paul, don't screw it up. We're really good. Yeah. So, I mean, I learned to get the ball to the right guy and be efficient with it and not pound my fist on the ground. Like, let's throw the ball more. And some games we threw 8 times, some games we threw 30 times my senior year. So we had a great team. And I think in one of my pet peeves, Mark, is that everyone wants to compare people, right? From generation to generation, who is the greatest quarterback of all time in the NFL, right? Everyone loves to have that conversation. Great media conversation. Can't really do that. I mean, you take Joe Montana, who I think obviously was one of the great quarterbacks of all time, maybe the best, arguably. Put him on Jacksonville today. How's he going to do? Not as good as he's done with the 49ers. Not to diminish his ability or anything like that. I'm just saying, Steve Young's a great example of that, because when he was in Tampa, no one talks about his years at Tampa. They only talk about his years at San Francisco. I wonder why. Had a great team around him. So it's a team sport. I had a great team around me when I was at USC, and we had a lot of success. And so, you know, so that was the reason I got drafted. They're like, okay, we need a quarterback. Or, wow, McDonald's, look at his numbers. His numbers are great, and, you know. And they won all the time. I mean, my 2 years starting, we had one loss and one tie in 2 seasons.
Yeah, it was insane. Insane.
Yeah, it was insane. So anyway, so that by virtue of that, you know, rising tides lift all boats, right? And when you win as a team, everybody benefits. And I think that's the thing that the people that really get it, the people that really get that, that's hugely important. And to understand that, because everyone's going to win.
Now, everybody does win, and certainly, like you said, you won a lot, and you continue to go. And I want to like take lift off of your football thing, because so much more about your story to me is what you've done today and in the book. And I want to talk about that, because I've been reading it. It's one of the better reads I've had in a long time. It's inspired me, and our stories are very similar in different ways. I think kind of going back, you know, it takes a village, right? And that village are these different teammates you just talked about. That village are these different coaches, John Robinson, Paul Hackett, and others that were in that environment at that time. But you know, when you start going back to you know, the early days and sacrifices that you made, your buddies were out down Newport Beach or wherever, you know, surfing, and you're out there throwing the ball. But your parents, and I'm reading these chapters, you know, right now about your mom, who was never educated because she had to grind, because you wanted to go to this fancy Catholic school, Bishop Vermont, down Southern California, a football powerhouse. And your dad, same, similar type of deal, where he's out grinding. And, you know, they're just trying to figure out, like, how are we going to put this kid through this school? And, you know, it's just like, it's the greatest gift of giving to put others first, what your parents did for you to enable you've had this amazing life. To go do all those things. I mean, talk about that for a minute. Like as you look back on it, probably at the time, you're just like, you know, like most kids, you're just like, hey, yeah, that's where I'm going. But you look back on it today as a parent of 4 kids, married, and you look back on your time, like what kind of sacrifice that was that enabled you to create this life that you've had.
You're right. It is the greatest gift. And what my parents did, and they came from very difficult backgrounds. My dad's dad was an alcoholic. My dad was forced to quit high school. He loved sports and he was a good football player. He played tight end, but he was forced to quit because he had to go work for the family. So he had quit high school. And I think that's why he gave, he had such vicarious joy, you know, through me and my successes, because he couldn't live that life. But he sacrificed, you know, for me, his family, his, you know, my mom. And my mom did the same thing. So yeah, to get to your point about high school. So there was this high school, Bishop Vermont, which is like the noted school to go to even today, but way back in the day was like, you know, the school to go to because they had won the CIF championship a couple times. prior to my arrival. And so my parents felt, you know, hey, Paul has a gift. Let's help him however we can. They didn't have any money. They had enough money. I didn't really realize that. I was fine. You know, I had food on the table and we didn't take, you know, we weren't jetting around the country at all. I mean, we were in the car in the back of a wagon, you know, station wagon, you know, driving to Montana to see my aunt and uncle. I mean, that was it. And I was stuck in the back and, you know, driving for, you know, 1500 miles or whatever it was. But I had a great life, but we didn't have discretionary money to afford a private high school. And so they took a second job for my dad, a first job for my mom. And so after my dad came home, he ate really quickly, and they both went to an office building to clean the office building. And so they were janitors, basically, janitorial service they worked for. And they did that all the way through my high school career. And it was that money that allowed them to pay the tuition so I could go there. And you're right, Mark. I mean, not many people would do that to change their life, put their life on hold for their kids. And I learned a valuable lesson, you know, to how to parent. And I had to go do it. You know, I had to go do the work. I had to go put the time in. And I never felt like I've got to do it for my parents. And I knew they made these sacrifices, but I was going to make that work. While I was in high school, I was going to do whatever I could because my parents were doing whatever they could for me to be able to go there. I think today there's this not wanting kids to fail mindset of parents, but there's this encouragement, support that should be there. That's what it should be. It should be encouraging, supporting, validating, but not, you know, cradling these kids. And so they don't fail. They don't have issues. They don't have pain. They don't have challenges that they have to deal with. That's the issue, I think, with parenting today. But the support, the encouragement, I mean, that's what we all want. That's what we all want. And when we have that, it helps us to vault up to levels that probably before we may not have been able to get to. And I talk about mentorship in the book, and that's hugely important. And I had that in Paul Hackett. Paul Hackett was my guy. He believed in me. We have to have people that believe in us, Mark, right? Every step of the way with whatever we're doing. We could do it on our own and probably have success, no question. But if we have somebody in our corner that's guiding us, supporting us, aiding our progress, being there as a mechanism when we have questions, when we have doubts, just a guidance system, basically, in our corner, whether it's our parents, friends, whatever, mentor, you know, a supervisor, somebody you work for, hugely important in life. And I think that might be a big thing that's missing today. We've got, you know, a lot of kids that are in, parents that are divorced. And so they might be missing that support structure, which I think is hugely important in the growth of any person, right?
Yeah.
So I had that with my parents, and to wrap this up, they're in the chapter under gratitude, and because I realized over time what they actually did.
Pretty remarkable.
It's remarkable for me.
So, yeah, no, it's incredible, and we, like you said, we all need that. Let me just sum up like 30 years for you. So you go through this storied high school, you do well, you get a scholarship, some people along the way make sacrifices, which you know, it's preparation meets opportunity, and you took that opportunity, ran with it. Then you play your NFL football, then you come out of it. Then you get in the business world, but as I found out, it's not the same thing as catching the touchdown in the last second, right? So there's a void. And so now, kind of 30 years later, roughly, you're going through some, I'm not going to call it a midlife crisis, but you're just really starting to like, what's life really all about, right? Yeah. And so you had this kind of awakening moment in Las Vegas a few years ago, which ultimately leads to this book, which again, I'm almost done. It's a great read. I'm going to show everybody here on YouTube. I'm right there. And so I want you to talk about kind of that moment of truth? Because I think at the end of the day, we all get there. I had my moment of truth 10 years ago, which led me into the mountains, which led to all this other stuff that has happened, which has been just the biggest blessing. And I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't gone through that struggle. And that struggle is different for everybody. But when you were kind of the golden boy quarterback and you look great and you talk great and you say all the right things and everybody thinks your life is just perfect, but internally inside that armor, it's not all together. It's not all there. And somehow or another, you got to keep out. You got to like come out and, you know, like in a certain way. And it takes a tremendous amount of courage, right? To sit back and say, look, I'm not perfect. And there's a lot of things that like are not right with my life, the way my blueprint of what I'm trying to get done. And as I'm looking, like I'm in the final chapter, I'm not sure where you and I are around in second base or third base, but it's a base, right? And yep. It's just like, so I want you to go back. And so for people that are listening to this podcast, right? Because a lot of times I think, you know, in my case, I've got these shiny objects up here, Sports Illustrated, you know, Mountaineer, NFL guy, and it seems like everything's just perfect. And it's not. I've had more valleys than peaks, for sure. I mean, I've been through some tough times. And the name of this podcast is Finding Your Summit, about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And I think you're finding your way, for sure. So go back and let's just kind of like reset what happened in Vegas that kind of led to these changes that I think are putting you on a really good path towards this next chapter of your life.
Well, there's a lot. That's a heavy question. There's a lot I can say on this subject, but to chronologically go back, I wasn't happy. You know, you get going in life and you just go from one thing to the next and you do, right? Because that's what we have to do. And I got married young, had kids at an early age. The NFL thing was great. That was my 20s. You know, as you know, phenomenal experience. What we call the business world or life outside of football is the real world, because what we live was really fantasy, right? And it was my childhood dream. I'm sure it was your childhood dream, because you're just being a kid out there on the field, right? I know you're making money and all that stuff, but it takes you back to the days when you were just running around on the field with your buddies and playing a game and laughing and having fun and enjoying. And that's what you and I got to do that. So that doesn't exist in the real world, right? Okay. So people, and I think this is why athletes have such a hard time. My first job at Wells Fargo Bank, which was an awesome job, as in private banking, it was a great job. A lot of people would dream of having that job. I mean, there were no cheerleaders when I walked through the door. There were no people that wanted my autograph. No media was around. They didn't want to interview me. No, you know. So, in fact, I talked to somebody and I said, you know, on my first day on the job, where am I supposed to go? And the guy said, here, follow me. And there was an empty desk with a phone on it. And he's like, this'll do. Why don't you just plop down here? So, I mean, it was a totally different, like, slap in the face. You're not in Kansas anymore, right? And that's how my business career started. But we learn fantastic life skills by playing sports, right? We learn to, you know, you get knocked down, you get back up. We learn to work ethic. We learn to plan. We learn to show up. We learn to execute, be a team member, work with other people, et cetera. So I applied all those principles that you learn through sports, a team sport like football, which is awesome. And I had success. You know, I was doing really well. Something was missing. And so when you have this void, you know, in your life, and you may not know how to understand it, know what's there, why it's there, how to deal with it. And because life is moving so fast, we brush it under the rug, right? And it's in there, but we don't really address it, okay? And the issue is that void can manifest in very negative ways, okay? So it wasn't right there. That was like 1990. So really, literally, it was 15 years probably after that. 12 to 15 years after that I went through this process. And because I was married so young, I felt like I missed out on life, right? Because I got really serious. I didn't get to go hang out with my boys and have beers. I never did that. There was no time for that because we had two kids, really. One kid, two kids, three kids, boom, boom, boom. And within 5 years, all of a sudden life gets in the way. And I'm attempting to make things work financially, right? Because you leave football and you're making X, and then the real world opening job is Y, is way less than X. And so you got to figure it out. And so I did figure it out, racing around, attempting to figure it out to keep the boat afloat, right? In the meantime, what's going on with Paul through all this? So I was having a fun time in my real estate world, which I eventually ended up in doing title insurance, which I'm still doing, which has been fantastic, fantastic career. But to me, I was always chasing that ultimate career mark. Like what is that ultimate career that can come close to what I experienced and what I felt when I was playing my sport? It was this never-ending chase, right? And what I realized when I was out drinking way too much with my buddies, and it was all under the auspices of, hey, it's just business and we're networking, right? But I was way overdoing it. And I was going down a path that wasn't right for me. And I realized that. And I realized that I've got to change. And I want to really figure out Paul. Okay. So over the course of that 12 to 15 year period, people give you books and people recommend things and, hey, read this or do this, DVDs, CDs. And they're piled up in the closet because I didn't have time to do it because I was going so fast, doing so much. So I took that pile of stuff and I went to Indian Wells in the desert of Southern California. And I took a long weekend and did a personal retreat and poured through those books, those CDs, those DVDs, and journaled and just wrote. I mean, literally for 3 days straight.
Now, was this 2 years ago?
This was about 10 years ago.
Oh, 10 years. Okay.
This is about 10 years ago.
So you're cruising along.
So it's been a process.
Yeah. So you're cruising along. You're coming out of the NFL. You're trying to replicate, you know, that what it's like to have that same feeling that both you and I had in the NFL. And you come to the end of the rainbow, and the answer is it's not the same, and it won't be the same because it's not the way business, you know, it's not in the moment. Deals always working. Ultimately, you get the big thing or whatever, you close it, but there's no big fanfare. So it's not spontaneous, and you got to deal with that. So 10 years ago, now you're retreating to the desert, and you're going through this serious personal reflection on how you're going to make changes, which then you started to implement those things, which then leads to, I think, this book, Through the Tunnel, which true stories of sports and life that empower your spirit is the subtitle to that. And I think, you know, again, I'm reading that. I've been really inspired because I'm inspired because so much of this is my story and all the different, seriously, and all the different, the chapters, you know, that come along in here. And I want to just name, I just want to go through a couple of them just as headlines. Okay. So it's knowing yourself, believe, be authentic, go for it, grit, courage, forgive, be conscious, inner peace, mentorship, a fulfilled life. And so when you start going through all these different chapters, literally in your life that become hours to days and days to months and months to years, where are you in that trajectory of happiness, the pursuit of happiness, as they would say?
Well, as they say, Mark, life is a journey, mm-hmm. you know, and that's really what the conclusion I came to, because like in real life, there are no off seasons, right? And you don't measure your performance like what happened last week. It's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing, we're here. What I concluded is, here's the ultimate question is, you know, why are we here? Why are we here? Okay. I believe we're here to grow and evolve as a human being. And that's completely relative to every single person on the planet, because we're all at a different place, right? Mm-hmm. And I believe we're all attempting to move up the evolutionary chain towards the highest ideal is, you know, love, enlightenment, of that sort. So, and everyone's in a different place. And they even have this measurement to determine where you're at, you know, in hierarchy. And so I think it's a never ending journey of where we're at while we're here on this planet. But there is a sense that I have of joy. And I get that mostly when I think about gratitude. And we live, think about the planet we live on. Completely fear-based planet, right? Everything you read, everything you see on TV, advertisements, you know, fear of loss, fear of missing out, all of these things in social media that occur, fear. And so when you're around that at a nonstop basis, you can't help but begin to take that on. So, you know, having a sense of gratitude can move you through the fear, being thankful for what you have, for where you are, for who you are, for what you're doing, for what, any little thing can give you, the sun is shining right now, gratitude, right? I woke up from bed this morning, gratitude. There's millions of things you can have gratitude for, abundance. There's a quote, you can only manifest what you already have. You can only manifest what you already have. So what does that mean? So I'm trying to make rent this month, that I'm speaking in the generic. Somebody out there, you know, I need to work to make rent, or I don't have enough money. I've got to go do something to make rent. What are you talking about? I have to have it. I want the money, but I don't have it. Well, you have to have a sense of abundance to receive more abundance, right? So in that, a sense of abundance can come from somebody buys me a cup of coffee. I'm driving in a parking lot that's full. All of a sudden, a car pulls out and there's a slot that opens up for me. That's abundance. So you begin to recognize the small things in life that are so amazing. You begin to take the time to look at the beauty on our planet. It takes you in a different perspective, completely out of this whole fear-based realm that the world wants to put you in. So I'm in a completely different place than I was 10 years ago because my perspective has changed. And here's the other thing, Mark, that I think is really, really, really important. Yes, we learn from other people. We learn from other things. But really, the answers lie within. People do not take the time to sit down and be reflective like I did in the desert, to take notes, to answer the questions like these questions, like, what are my gifts? What are my strengths in life? What do I want to do? Where do I want to spend the rest of my life? What's important to me? Do I want to be married? Do I not want to be married? What sort of people do I want to surround myself in life? I mean, there's some massive questions that people literally don't take the time to answer because they're walking around in their subconscious mode where they're not even knowing what they're doing and why they're doing it. They're only doing it because they've always done it because of the habit. And so what we all need to do is snap out of that autopilot mode and step out of it and step back and be conscious and really take the time to understand who we are, what's important to us, why we're here, and what we want to do with our life. And that's really the crux of the book.
There's this great quote I think you had, and I love it. It's called, this is as it relates to abundance. The key to an abundant life is to be satisfied with what you have and not obsessed with what you don't. That's essentially what you just said. I think, you know, you go back and you said, I think we're all on this planet, you know, to grow. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think fundamentally you're right, but I don't think everybody's willing to go there. And one of the reasons why not everybody's willing to go there is because not everybody, but many aren't willing to go dig and find out some pretty awful things that maybe you're doing, your lifestyle. And it takes work, man. And I mean, I was in the darkest of the darkest places many years ago. And I had to really figure it out. I turned to all kinds of stuff from podcasts, self-empowerment things, these different books, you know, the five love languages, like really understanding how to communicate. And I think like that's where all this, that's like the lotto is on the other side of that rainbow of the gifts that you can get if you sink your teeth in and admit to yourself and then admit to others that maybe you don't have it all figured out and that you need help in some way to help elevate yourself, to get yourself to that next level. And it can be a wonderful experience, you know, and the people that you meet along the way. There's also something else that you said about you're talking about reflecting on like what you want in life, about your friends, about who you're married to or not married. You know, as you go through all that, John Wooden had this great quote, and there's so many, you know, quotes that he's famous for. And one of those things is he challenged his players to hang out with five people that made them better. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go blow out your buddies from high school or something, but it's just like, how can you know, you and I, you know, reconnecting, like, you know, I'm not going to pin it to five, but, you know, Paul McDonald is a guy that has come back in my life. You know, I'm reading his book and I'm learning, you know, that I feel is going to make me better. Right. And Jim Moore, and there's other people in that list, you know, that I have in my life. And I think that's the key, just like searching and listening and the power of curiosity that can really elevate you to that whole other level to really make what we're talking about this whole thing is, you know, what is a fulfilling life and what the pursuit of happiness and how do you get to that? Right. So you're not constantly like, I don't have, or the guy down the street's got a bigger house or a fancier car. And that's where you get into that fear-based stuff that you were talking about that just paralyzes you at the end of the day about what your personal potential can possibly be.
It's, you know, we're all searching, Mark, right? We're all searching for that. We're that nirvana. And it's all within us. It's not a destination. It's all within us if we choose to go there, right? And you're right. In choosing to go there will take you down most likely a path of pain, vulnerability, transparency. That's why I come clean in the book, like, hey, you know, and you're right. You know, people look at me, you know, from afar that don't know me, and they're like, come on, man. Me, you know, All-American quarterback from USC, you know, married for 40 years. You got a beautiful wife. You got a beautiful 4 kids. I mean, your life is perfect. I want that life. But everybody's got their stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their stuff, no matter what it is. And the key is to be comfortable enough in your own skin and vulnerable enough to admit it. And I talk about it in the book. It's like, hey, get over it. We're humans. We're human beings. Everyone has their stuff. But everyone wears this mask, right? Like, I got it all figured out. I'm cool. Yeah. Okay. You got your stuff. You keep it over there, but I'm cool. You know, no, we all need to hold a hand out and pull each other up out of the pits of whatever they're dealing with compassion, you know, and love. That's what we need. That's what the world needs right now. Right. It's so divisive. And because we're all trying to win, like, okay, I'm right. You're wrong. Mark, I've said stuff here that you just admitted to, that, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. Great. That's fine. So there's 8 billion people on the planet, right? So our reality is based upon our five senses, our belief system, and our subconscious mind that we don't even know if we haven't dug deep what's actually in there, right? And that's been downloaded by the time we're 6 years old because of our environment, our parents, whatever, our triggers and how we get triggered in life. So there's 8 billion people in it. There's all these different things that influence our reality. So there's 8 billion different realities. There's 8 billion different truths out there from everyone's perspective. And it's all different, but we can all work together. We can all appreciate what other people's opinions are. We don't have to win. We're not playing a football game, right? We don't have to win. I'm right. I confess, you did it. I'm right. You're wrong. Okay. That's all ego, man. That's all ego. That's not the spirit, right? That's all ego, because the ego wants to feel like it's, when the ego wins, we feel powerful, man. We feel good, right? But that has taken over our society. And it's time to put the hand out and admit when we're wrong and be okay with others having a differing opinion.
You talked about we're all searching for something. Ironically, when you were saying that, the first thing that just hit my mind was the title that the NFL put on the film that they did about my journey called Searching for the Summit. And I agree with what you were just saying. which is like, in that movie, that's what it was called. And it was specifically about Mount Everest, but it was also about this journey I've been through. And now I found myself with the seven summits completed, like what's mine next? So I'm continuing to search for my own summit, right? And that's again, where the growth and the power all comes from. So where can people find this book? Everybody, it's a must read. It's great. Paul is a fantastic storyteller. And it's just not about Paul's life, but you throw in all these little nuggets from a lot of examples from your own life, from your kids' lives, and from other famous stars that we all know about, to put your point, your headline of that particular chapter into perspective. Where can people find this book?
Well, you know what? We're launching. So the co-writer with me, a guy named Jack Barrich, who's an awesome guy and contributed greatly to the outcome of the book. And he's got a background in filmmaking. We're launching a media company that he's going to run in the next 3 or 4 months. I'm going to launch the book in conjunction with that. Now, the website is gamechangenation.com, but you won't find anything there right now, but it will be there at some point in time, probably April, May-ish, something like that, that we'll be able to launch. And it'll be on Amazon. It'll be all the places that, the typical places that you would find it. So, I think there's something in that book for everybody, Mark. Wouldn't you agree, having gone through it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's resetting the bar for me again, after I put a big goal out there, accomplished it. And now I'm like, okay, what's the next chapter look like? You know, and it just helps me reframe like where I was and resetting. And, you know, again, like you said, ego, so much of the time, it's like a gigantic wall that gets in the way of the things that you want to accomplish and things like you can't control things. And another, you know, big point you make in this book is staying present, because that's where all the magic happens. And so much about fear is what happened in the past or what is going to happen in the future, which you have no control over. Actually, you don't
Correct.
Have control
it's
over.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. You have no control over either one of them. If it's in the past, you know, what's done is done, and what's in the future. So all we can do is learn from our mistakes and try to grow as an individual and be the best version of yourself, which you say that often in this book. And finally, I just want to say to anybody that's out there between when this podcast runs, you're listening to it right now or in the next couple months. And if you're looking for that book, go through my website, markpattisonnfl.com, reach out to me, and some or another, Paul and I will figure out a way to get that book in your hands, especially if you're going through any kind of struggles, and it's very relatable. So on that note, Paul, thank you so much for coming on the pod. You're a great guy. I'm so proud of you and what you've done. Our journeys, even though you didn't go up Mount Everest, we'd love to have you.
Not going to, baby. I was cheering you on.
I know you were, and I appreciate that with all sincerity. So thank you so much, and you're a rock star. And again, nothing but gratitude for you coming on the pod today.
Thanks, Mark. Enjoyed every minute of it. Look forward to more encounters that we're going to have in the future.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, there he is, the one, the only, Paul McDonald. Thank you.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.